All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and as you're turning there, I'm going to brag on your church because I've been part of a lot of churches. Well, I say that, only three. That's a little dramatic, but I've been part of churches, and this is a very active church. And as I said last night, this is the kind of church, let me tell you what you're known for. Sometimes we don't know what we're known for because we're within the building. You're known for being doers, and not just hearers of the word only, but doers also. That's why these buses run out on Sunday mornings, is you're getting kids. That's why you're you completed a revival for teenagers. We've talked about this in camp meetings for years, but your pastor and Brother Cooper and the staff here, they said, you know what, we're doers, we're going to do it. Right, wrong, indifferent, without a formula or anything, we're going to do it, and they did it. And that's what this church is. This church is a doing church. But with that is a responsibility. Because as we looked at last night, if you're a believer in Christ, when we stand before God, our sin has been dealt with by Jesus' blood. But there will be rewards and loss of rewards based on what we did with what he's given us in Christ Jesus. And so you're part of a great church, and that's great. But with that, too much is given, as much is required, because when you stand before God and he says you had all these bus routes for little children, you did this stuff for youth and the elderly and then the community, what did you do? What did you seize those opportunities? Did you help? Did you invest your time, your energy, and your money? And if you say no, that's not going to be good, because you're part of a really great dynamic here. And so I encourage you, this is all free. This has nothing to do with the message. I'm just throwing this out there. I encourage you, if you attend here, understand what you're part of. And understand of the great opportunity of laying treasures in heaven here. Because this is an active, moving, and doing church. But for most of us, when given an opportunity, if you're like me, we talked about this a little bit last night to give us a running start. And you're given an opportunity in the church. One thing that I hear a lot and even have said is I'm not in the place to do that. And what we're saying when we say that is we have in our mind a place, a behavior that, or a lifestyle that if we could just get there, I know God would love me and he would be pleased with me. And then when I get there, then I'll start being active in church and I'll start helping and I'll start teaching. The problem is, we find out, as we saw in Romans 7 last night, we never can get there. And so we become discouraged of, this is what I want to be. I know this is what God will love and he'll be pleased with. I can't get there. And because I can't get there, we saw that when you try to do good, evil's present. You're even attacked more with temptations and you get frustrated. And that's when you need to be revived. And we looked at the key principle last night. No one remembers this, so I'll remind you. We don't live a life to honor and glorify God for his love. We live a life to honor and glorify God because we have his love. That's what should motivate you and I this morning is, I'm not trying to get to a place where God will love me. I already have his love, and now I have the freedom to just lift his name up. We're witnesses. We're not lawyers. We don't have to go around and make cases. We just tell what we've seen and what we've heard. And so, this morning, we're going to talk about the law of revival. There is a law of revival mentioned in Romans chapter 8. And so, here's what I want you to get before we get started. And you're like, is he ever going to get started? Well, here's what I want you to get. There is a misconception among believers that we're trying to achieve God's love as a believer, and we already have it, and that's what motivates us. And there's another misconception, and that is Satan has done a great work for us to minimize the resurrecting or the revival power of the Holy Spirit that also lives within us. And so let's just talk about, let me give you an example. Do you remember a guy named Ted Bundy? Anybody, nobody over here does, but Ted Bundy was the kind of guy that if he invited you over for supper, you said, oh, I'll pass. He was a serial killer, and I never will forget, I was listening to an interview with him, because I use my time wisely, and he's in cuffs, he's fixing to be executed. Matter of fact, James Dobson, a believer, was interviewing him, and his father walked in, That's Ted Bundy's dad, and I'll never forget. I get emotional when I talk about it. His dad comes in there and just, and I'm thinking, this dude's a killer, man. He's eat people, for heaven's sakes. We can discourage, frustrate, upset God. We can. We can hurt him. But we never can lose his love. Parents, grandparents, you know what that's like. My kids can do all kinds of stuff to devastate me. You'll never be able to lose my love, period. And that's how much God loves us. We can't lose it. And because of that, it motivates us to honor and glorify him. Here's what it motivates us to do. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I don't think we understood that, believers. I'm going to read it again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That means our sins are dealt with. Now, when we stand before God, there's rewards and loss of rewards, but a condemning of our sins and judgment of our sins Christ took care of. And so here's an attribute of those that have been revived by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does, is he resurrects. He quickens us. He makes alive what's not been alive. It says, here's the attributes. If you're a believer this morning, we walk not after the flesh. What does that mean? It means this. The word walk here means to live a certain way. And how we conduct our lives. The word after means we focus on. It's a life that's focused on. The word flesh means fallen nature, materials, or human nature. If you're in Christ Jesus this morning, one thing that we don't do is we don't live a life focused on what dies. You say, what are you talking about? Material things depreciate. Things fall apart. For heaven's sakes, our body, the youth don't understand this, I'm starting to, our bodies fall apart and depreciate. And so we don't live the kind of life that invests in things that can be stolen or corrupted. We invest in things that are alive. We get excited about what's been revived. If you've ever gotten a new car, you know how it is when you get a new car, you know, we're going to take care of this thing. We're serious this time. That last one we trashed, but we're going to take care. We're going to vacuum this one. We're going to wash it out. We're going to take great care of it. What eventually happens? Over the course of time, it gets old. You spill things. I have 7 kids. Our cars look like they spent 2 terms in Iraq. Literally. Everything depreciates. Everything falls apart. Now catch this. It's the law of nature. That is this. What goes down must stay down. We don't live that way. Because we know that in Christ we can be revived. We know that in Christ what goes down doesn't have to stay down by his power and his strength. And so this is the revival part, is you might be here and you say, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'd like to be here pleasing God where he'll love me. He already loves you in Christ Jesus. You live your life as if things can be resurrected because you got the resurrector. You got the King revival living within you. It's the greatest gift Christ can give us. It's the Holy Spirit. So we don't live a life under the law of nature. We don't invest our time and energy. We have to work and we have to live in this world, but we invest in kingdom matters. What we're doing this morning, it matters in eternity and we'll be rewarded for that. So we don't walk after the flesh. We don't live like we're dying, Tim McGraw. We live like we're living. And if I was going to die, I'm not riding a bull or jumping out of an airplane. That's stupid. To walk after the flesh is to live a life of this nature, and that's to live for the big job, the fancy car, lots of friends, followers, parties, money, whatever. It's like a gangster. This is where I relate to the youth. It's like a gangster. Get rich or die trying. You know, it's when you think that everything falls apart, I'm falling apart, so what's the use? We don't live that way as a believer because of this. Look at what we do. It says, who walk not after the flesh. That is, focus on things that are not eternal. Things, we don't live a life of a concept that things can't be fixed. We have hope. of revival, do we not? But we, believers this morning, we walk after the Spirit. We conduct our lives, we live our lives toward that which is eternal, things that never die. We pursue faith, hope, power, God's will, obedience, the Word of God. We live as if we're going somewhere. We invest in the kingdom. That's what this church does. Have you noticed that? You take your physical resources, your building, your parking lot, your blow-up thingies y'all have, your thing across the street. We had a fire over there last night. You use all this material stuff that's just going to depreciate and not mean anything. You use it as a resurrecting revival to honor and glorify God. We focus, you focus, and so do we, on things that are eternal, and that's what we're supposed to do. We don't walk after what dies. We don't believe that if you fall, you have to stay there. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to look at something, because this all that was just the starter, all right? You're like, well, it didn't start nothing. Well, maybe something will here in a minute. It says, I want you to look at chapter 8 in verse 11. Now, we don't grasp this as believers, but I hope to this morning it kind of hits. It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. What the Holy Spirit did was resurrected Christ, the Creator. He has that kind of power. I mean, that's unbelievable. What the world said when Jesus died is the law of nature is what? He can't get up. He's dead. Remember what they said about Lazarus? He smells. That's the law of nature. You die, you depreciate. That's it. But the Holy Spirit says, no, I'm the reviver. I'm the one that brings to life. And what did he do? He did something supernatural. You got the law of nature after the flesh. You got the law of the Spirit that trumps that law. It's supernatural. And he raised Christ from the dead. That's within us, believers. Satan wants us to forget that. We have the resurrecting power of Christ Jesus inside of us. So that means we look at everything different. We don't look at everything like the world does, and that is, oh, their marriage is falling apart and this and my relationship and they've messed up and they're done. We don't look at it that way. We look at it, oh, that's a mess, but in Christ Jesus, the one that resurrected Jesus can fix this situation if they'll let him. That's what it is to walk after the Spirit. Now, let's go back to chapter 8, verse 2. There is a law of the Spirit. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, let me give you a really cornball illustration. You're like, this whole thing is getting really corny. If I take a penny and I drop it, the law of gravity says what? The law of nature says it has to fall, it has to hit the ground, flat on its face. Get it? All right. But if I catch that penny and I raise it up, then I, in some senses, defy the law of that nature. What I've done trumped the law of gravity. So here's how it goes. What the world says must go down. That's the law of the nature. What depreciates, what falls apart, what stinketh after it die, it has to stay there. But there's a supernatural power, the Holy Spirit, and he overrides the natural and resurrects it. That's why Proverbs 24:16 says this, the just man, those that are right with God, fall what? Seven times. But what's the key? But they get up again. See, it defies what should stay down. You and I, get this, I don't think we're getting it. You're like, well, it's boring and it's confusing. Okay, well, within us as believers, we have a revival spirit in the Holy Spirit. And so when we mess up, when we fail, the physical world and even Satan says, you're done. You can't get up. There's no way you can get up. And the Holy Spirit says, no, I'm the King of revival. If you believe in me, if you believe, have hope in the power of Jesus Christ, I can resurrect anybody and I can resurrect anything. See, there's a law of nature and then there's the law of revival, the law of the Spirit. Now, Here's one thing we're guilty concerning youth, is we're older now. We're still sinners, but we've learned a little bit. Hopefully you have. But they need to hear what you've been revived from in the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we lose track of that. Our youth pastor is Zach Lee. Raise your hand. Okay, that's Zach. And his wife, Elizabeth. Now, I'm going to tell him a story about him, and I ask him. So, it's all good. When Lizzie was 16 and Zach was 17, I want you all to listen to this, all right? He got her pregnant. Can you believe it? That's what he did. He got her pregnant. And when you get pregnant in high school, it's not good and God doesn't condone it. And there's a penalty to pay in this physical realm for doing that. So what does the law of nature say based on what we see in the norm? The law of nature says, well, she's not going to be able to go to college. He's going to have to immediately go to work. Their marriage is not going to work because they don't really know each other. This baby's going to be raised in who knows what kind of atmosphere. It's supposed to fall apart. And we see it fall apart outside of the hope of Jesus Christ, do we not? But because they put their faith in Jesus Christ, and because the Holy Spirit, the resurrector, the revival maker, was included, guess what? He's got it. Now, there was a penalty for our sins. He's got a great job. He gets paid really well to do absolutely nothing. Liz, although it was a lot of work, went on and got her bachelor's degree to teach. They raised their three little babies, little Tegan, that was conceived in high school. They bring them to church faithfully, and now they're youth directors. See, what the law of nature, the law of the flesh says, that'll never be restored. Ever. Yeah. The Holy Spirit says, I'm the resurrected. You give me a try. If I can raise a deity, if I can raise the Creator, I can raise anything in your life. And let's just get on to Brother Downer while we're here. I know how you are as a youth. You think you've done some bad things. And you have. But Brother Downer was once a teenager over 60, 70 years ago. I promise you, he's done everything you've ever done and more. That's the truth. He's been kicked out of college. He's been in all kinds of crazy scenarios. And if you want more on that, catch me after church. I'll fill you in. See, the law of nature, he was raised in a dysfunctional home. What does the law of nature say based on the law of nature? It's a real law. He's not going to amount to anything. He can't. He's in a dysfunctional home. They've had tragedies in their family. He is into alcohol, whatever it is. But at the age of 21, right, he gives his life to Jesus. And when you give your life to Jesus, he gives you a gift. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, who's the reviver, lives within you. And over a process of time, look at what God in that power has done. What should have been down and stayed down was resurrected. See, that's the law of the Spirit. That's how we live as believers. Amen. All day long. I don't know what the cool slang for kids is anymore. I was fixing to say kiddos, and that's like the dorkiest ever. What do you refer to now as a big group of kids? Just a group of kids? What? A group, yeah. Listen to me, all y'all over here. These people here, they're older than you. They've made a lot of the same mistakes you've made. We come to church, we wear suits, we look the part, we look like we should look, and that is we're revived by the power of the Holy Spirit, but we know what it's like. Amen? We know what it's like, so here's the encouragement. Maybe you're here and your family's dysfunctional. Maybe you don't have a mom and dad like everyone else. Maybe you've dealt with tragedy. Maybe you've had hardships. Maybe your relationships are messed up. Maybe you've made big mistakes. And here's what the world will tell you. I promise, this is how the world operates. What will it not? They'll say, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never be able to please God. I mean, you're down, and so you might as well. Then Satan comes in and says, you might as well just live like hell, because what does it matter? That was a borderline cuss. But if you'll let Jesus Christ, if you're a believer, if you'll realize within you is a Holy Spirit, He's the King of revival. If you will let Him lead your life, although it'll be hard and painful, a lot of tears, He can use you and rectify any situation you're going through. Tell Him, amen, amen, old saints. He can do it. But you gotta let Him be part of your life. And see, here's how it works. You repent for what you've done wrong. You turn from that. And you understand, I haven't lost God's love. I have His love. I want to live for Him. He can fix this. Well, you don't know. See, everybody will say, well, I'll tell you what. Do you, Brother Downer, you know, do you know how many people, when he came here to be a pastor from where we're from, thought that was a joke? Remember when y'all hired him? Y'all thought he was a joke too. No. He'll tell you. What's it done? Well, he works harder than he does. But it goes back to God never stopped loving him. And the Holy Spirit that resurrects Christ lives within him. And he rectified his situation. He raises kids in a way that's better than he ever raised. And his kids are going to raise. See, it resurrects. I'm so thankful that the just man can fall, because we will. And we pay some pretty good penalties on this planet, do we not, for the mistakes we made? Man. And we pay for the mistakes of others, and it hurts. But don't forget this, okay? In Christ Jesus, if you put your faith in Him, or if you have your faith in Him, lives within you a reviver. And He can rectify any situation you're going through. And He's done it in my life, and He's done it in everyone's life, if you'll let Him. So here's the application for all of us. Two things I want you to walk away with. Don't walk away now, just wait. All right, but here's two things I want you to walk away with. There's absolutely nothing you can do to lose God's love. Nothing. The second thing is, there's no situation that you'll ever experience that if you'll let Him be part of it, He can't fix and resurrect and revive. And the Bible says this, He works all things. That's all things. That's not just the good things. He works all things together for the good to those that love Him and called according to His purposes. What He does is He takes that mess and he resurrects it. And then somehow, in a beyond our way, He uses it for His honor and glory. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to live for Jesus. And let me tell you something, believer, and we'll be done. Don't get old and crusty and start believing the law of nature. Because here's what happens in churches. I'm correcting you now, see? So-and-so got so-and-so pregnant. Oh, well. What do we say, believers? Well, they're done. Their life's over. Well, they're going to fall out of church. What do you do? I've seen that happen over and over and over. That's not how we live. We live after the Spirit. We say, man, they've got a lot of pain. They've got a lot of work. But if we can teach them about Christ and the Holy Spirit, man, He can fix this. He can fix it. The law says, the law of nature says, no, it goes down. You stay down. Holy Spirit says, oh, yeah, well, Christ, He was speared and He died on a cross. He's still alive. He's still alive. I can fix it. And He can fix anything. So if you're here this morning, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. And the bad thing about it is without Jesus, there is no hope. Because you don't have within you the component to revive. You have to stay down. But if you'll put your faith in Him, we've got people that'll teach you how to do that. He can resurrect any situation you let him resurrect. Listen, believer, we lose track of it too, do we not? Maybe you've failed. Maybe you've messed up. You say, I've gone too far this time. This was the last straw. He doesn't love me anymore. He does too. That's never stopped. You're going to pay a price for it in this planet. But if you'll trust Jesus, if you'll honor him with his word, well, you'll start where you are, you honor him with his word, he can fix it. It may not be the way you think. It may not be when you think, but he'll fix it. And there will come a day, like Brother Downer, where he can stand and proclaim God's word from a dysfunctional, messed up place. It's the law of the revival. Let's do business with God and thank him for his love that we can't lose. Thank you. Thank him that he can fix anything. Amen. Let's stand. I'm going to open this invitation in a word of prayer, turn it over to Brother.